Romans 12, if you've got your Bibles handy, verses 1 and 2. It will be well known, I'm sure, to many of you. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. Linda. Let me pray for Linda before I sit down. Father, we do thank you for Linda, and we pray that as she shares your word to us, you would quicken it to our hearts by the power of your Holy Spirit. Bless her and be with each one of us, we pray, as we hear your word. May we receive it in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Good morning, everybody, again, and hope you're sitting comfortably, not thinking too much about your donuts yet. I did think about giving the donuts out now, but then I thought you'd be itching for a cup of tea straight after, so you just have to bide your time. Right, as Jeff said, we're doing a passage that you're probably many of you, if you've been a Christian for a long time, will be familiar with in Romans. And really, sort of looking at it, I thought, do you know what? We could do a whole series just on these two verses without doing a whole Bible study on Romans, which, you know, if you're looking for that, that's not today. But you can go on YouTube and have a look at N.T. Wright. There's clips there that are really interesting if that's what you're looking for. And I'm just going to concentrate on one little bit about renewing our minds today. And our minds are very in the forefront, aren't they, at the moment, with mental health and all the things that have come out about that recently have been really good. Things that have been hidden for a long time that people have struggled with have begun to be uncovered and brought out into the open, and that's a good thing. And Jeff was talking to me yesterday about, is it Clark Carlisle? And I had a look, and you can get it. There's Radio Lancashire has done an interview with him. He's a local lad. I know his mum and dad and his brother and their family. So he's quite local, and he was a footballer and had severe mental issues which drove him to take his own life, which obviously didn't happen because he did the interview. So you can look that up. It's on Radio Lancashire and you can get that back. In our own fellowship here, in our own church, we have Mind Your Head group, which is a support group for depression and anxiety. We have a pastoral team that's here to help when we have something wrong. We have pastoral visitors. We even have counsellors who are linked to us that we can put you in touch with. So we have support in place here, which you may not be aware of if you've joined us recently, because the mind and our needs are so important. It's important that we stand together. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to look at that this time. But also, it's the beginning of a new year, and it's the time we all pull our socks up and start going to things like Slimming World, or join the gym, or doing something new. And when I asked you last time, it was only Pete who was going to try and do something new this year. Anybody else? I won't ask you where it is. Can I ask you, Sally? I won't ask you, I won't embarrass you, because you might. I've got something in my mind, and I thought, I'll tell everybody what I want to do this year. And then And then I bottled it and thought, no, because I might not do it. And then they'll keep asking me and it'll be horrible. So I'm not going to tell you yet. Maybe I'll be brave by the end of it. So our little passage, which is about our mind. And then I did the front cover, which says transform your mind. And when I looked at it, it sort of said transform your mind. Which I thought, it looks quite aggressive, that, but the font looked great to me when I found it. You're looking at it now, good. And really, that's a sort of type of do it yourself, you can do it. Well, I'm not sure we can do that entirely of ourselves. There's a lot we can do with our brain, isn't there? We can train it in many ways. There's something on at the library weekly, and they have puzzles and Scrabble and things like that to help us carry on with our brain. And we've all got games on our phones, haven't we, to help us make those connections. Those of you who are involved in schools, do they still do brain gym, or is that so yesterday? It's a bit yesterday, yeah. But I used to love brain gym, you know, and you had to make connections. And I was going to pick on somebody today, Mark, really, because he always picks on other people, doesn't he? But he's supposed to be looking after our grandchildren today. So I thought, can't get him. But brain gym was things like where you made your brain cross over. So a really good one, try this at home. You get somebody and they stand in front of someone and you just copy the action. So they just might be, you know, some simple actions. And while you're doing that, you get somebody else to ask them questions. So mathematical questions, just dead easy, you know, 2 plus 3, 3 minus 1, 5 add 2, 2 times 10. And so you're doing two things. So you've got somebody in front of them, somebody there. But then you get somebody this side and they start asking them emotional questions. So where did you meet your wife? What's the name of your mum? What colour eyes did your mum have? And straight away, there's an emotion starting. So your brain is having to make cross wires because you're doing three things, which is challenging for some of us on its own. But also your brain is doing a mathematical, logical thing. Your eyes are following something, and you've also got an emotional response going on, which is really good. You want to do it now, don't you? Alison, you do, don't you? I know you would. So we can do things. We can learn a language, can't we? We can learn to be experts. I love Mastermind. I haven't got a clue what they're talking about most of the time, but I love it to see those people totally engaged with the subject that they've had to learn. And so we can do lots of things with our brain ourselves and our mind. Mindfulness, that's another big thing at the moment, isn't it? And some of you will know, but our son is an actor, and he worked for most of a few years ago in the West End with Kenneth Branagh, who's, you know, sort of well, if you don't know, he's quite a high-profile actor, director, person who does a lot of Shakespeare. And he got the cast there at the beginning, and he got one of these famous guys who wrote one of the first books on mindfulness to come in and talk to the cast, and so that they would train their minds every morning to go through a process, or whenever they turned up for work, to help them to get into gear, to get rid of all the rubbish in their minds and focus and try and train it, which is a good thing. And I think they found it, he found it really helpful and thought this guy was really inspirational. So there's lots of things about our brain that we can do. But as Christians, we're thinking on another realm. We're thinking on a spiritual realm as well. That we've had another part of us woken up because God is within us. And that's what I want us to focus on for a few minutes today, is that, if I can just explain, because I know, you know, those of us who have been a Christian for 100 years is a bit old hat. But when you become a Christian, when you invite Jesus into your life, you're giving him control of your mind, your body, your future. You're giving him, you're giving it up. But he gave his life for us. And it's sort of, you know, it doesn't even compare, because he wants the very best version of us to happen. So what we're giving up is something that's poorer for something that's a whole lot better and a whole lot more of a future. So when we become a Christian, God's Spirit comes in us. You know, Jesus came, we just had Christmas, haven't we? He came, Emmanuel, so that God could be with us. So God came down in the form of a baby and he grew up to a man. And that's often where we stop at Christians, that we want to take Jesus with us and say, you know, if Jesus was here, what would he do? He's not here anymore. He came so we could see what God was like. That is why the Bible is so important, because it tells us what God is like, what he did, who he is, what he thinks of us. And we see that in Jesus. That's why the Gospels, get them in your car, get them read to you. Avril, were you saying to me, you have it on your, you get it in your car now. So she's hearing it. Ask her how you do that if you don't know. Get it into your head, however, because that will help. So we've got Jesus came to be God with us, but he went so that God could be within us. So by the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, is in us. If you had that encounter with God where you said yes, where you said, I want to live my life for you, I want you in me, that's what happened. That's what happened. He came in, and you know, the prayer isn't magic. We sort of... you know, maybe we've passed through this now where we want people to pray a prayer. Pray the prayer and you will become the Christian. Well, I do think that you need a marker in the sand. I do think you need that encounter experience. That's why if I pray with you, I often say, you pray, you ask, you repent, you do this, because you need a marker to say, yes, that was the day, that was the time this happened to me. Because if it's just consumer, if we just sit back and let everybody do it for us, you don't remember it. It's another television program. We were watching some new series. Oh, I can't even remember that now. But we haven't finished it. We were watching some new series on the telly. And apparently there was a series before it, which I watched. I have no recollection. I don't think I've ever seen those people in my life. And I have that with films. They come and they go. Books I read, you know, I'm in a book group and I occasionally finish my book in time to go. But I have no recollection. It's really hard. And you need those punctuation times in your life that you go, yes, this happened to me. I can tell you the spot, the house, the place where I knelt down with a guy in the Salvation Army, which I've told you loads of times, but it changed my life. I can never get away from that point. I can never pretend it didn't happen. I can never say, and maybe I can't remember every single detail what was said, but I remember the Spirit of God came in. Because the next day I made my bed and I knew I was not on my own. You know, was I still a Linda Jones at the time? Yes, I was. Was I still quite naughty? Yes, I was. And he doesn't want me to be like everybody else. He didn't want me to be like everybody else. He wanted to be me and living inside me and make me who I'm on the way to becoming. I'm not there yet. And those of you who know me very well will know that. You know, that's the problem about us having our job when we've been here for years and years and years. Other pastors come, they get a little honeymoon period, don't they? And we don't know them. And we go, they're lovely, aren't they lovely? We love them. They're so nice. They're so much nicer than the last person who we got to know really well. But sadly, you knew us a lot first. And so we can't hide. And so if I say, you know, well, I don't do this, you'll go, yeah, you do. You're always doing it. But I can't get away from that punctuation time in my life. And that's an encounter. And those encounters with God are so important because they are love encounters which change everything. And it changes our mind of how we see God. And I just want to tell you a story about, I've been a Christian a year. So I was 17. And I didn't really want to leave. Well, I did want to leave school. I hated it. But I didn't really want to go to work. And my mom was a person who, there's no point in education. You know, you go to school, you leave school as soon as you can. I don't know why you've got to stay till you're 16, but you have now. It's the law, apparently. But you get a job. And I always had to have a job. I had a job when I was 13. I've had loads of jobs because my mom expected us to earn money. And that was the whole, that. And when you've been poor, you know, that is what you're about. So she wasn't a Christian, didn't come from a Christian home, and it was all about getting a job. But my dad said I could go and do a secretarial course. So that's what I did. And I was terrible. I was really bad. And I sort of knew that when my typing teacher said, I have nightmares about you. And I thought, I don't think this is going well. But I carried on and I tried to learn my shorthand. But you were supposed to learn all these shorthand bits every night. Avril, you probably did that, didn't you? Because you were a good girl. Margaret's not here, but she would have done that. And I thought, oh, I'll pick them up along the way. You never pick them up. Do it now. You don't pick them up. So I wasn't great. Now, at the end of the year, it was only a year's course, what usually happened was, it was in Liverpool, it was in Bootle, and people used to ask for, if they needed a secretary, they would ask the college to send them people. Now, so they'd started coming in, and the banks in Liverpool were asking for secretaries, and they didn't send me. They sent my friends. And I thought, oh, I better keep quiet here about, because my mum will be asking me, are you getting a job? And if I can put it into context, it's the mid-70s. Unemployment was very high. And I lived on a council estate in a cul-de-sac. Every single house, no exception, and the flats, every house had somebody who was unemployed. So it wasn't easy to get a job. So we've got this pressure. And anyway, my typing teacher, she came to me and she said, guess what, you're going for an interview. I was like, ooh. So she sent me for an interview on the dock road to a little engineering firm. Now, I'd become a Christian. When you become a Christian, it doesn't matter what you're doing. God's spirit is in you. You are starting to change. Your mind is starting to be renewed. That the way you see the world is starting to look different. I was only a year old as a Christian. But I knew that God loved me, that he wanted good things for me, that he wanted me to have a job. So I prayed, Lord, what? I want a job. Is this my job? And in those days, they asked you how much you wanted to earn. They still do that. So I had this figure in my mind, £25 a week. That's not bad, is it? So I went for this interview, and I must have done quite well, and the guy said to me, okay, well, we're prepared to offer you the job. How much were you thinking of earning? So I felt my God had said £25 a week. So I said, £25 a week? And he went, ooh. He said, well, maybe when you're 18, maybe if you work late every night, maybe if you work Saturday mornings, you might just get £25. So I thought, no, I'm pretty sure this is not what God said. So I said, no, thank you. And I came out and I sat on the station at the back of Bootle New Strand then. And I thought, what have I done? I've got to go home and tell my mum that they wanted to give me a job and I said no. And what had I done? My mind had started to be renewed and I'd started to trust God first and listen to him. So I'd made God first. That was a different way of thinking. Secondly, I refused to take on the limitations of what had been put on me and the pressures. So first of all, I got my mum, we need money, you need to get a job. So I got to face that. I'd got the locality and time, there weren't many jobs about. I'd got what my typing teacher said to me. You know, you're not very good. You probably won't get a job as a typist. So I'd got these pressures, but still I'd got an overwhelming sense that this is not what God wanted for me. And even though we'd got a figure, and you think that is absolutely batty. And to me, if some teenager had said that to me now, I probably would have gone, what? Well, why don't you just take the job and see how it goes? I don't know that I'd have the same whatever. But thirdly, I chose to believe that God will always provide for me because he loves me. And that is a non-negotiable. Now, the ending of the story was, it didn't go very well at home. It didn't go very well back at college. And I was left thinking, Lord, you've got to turn up here. And then out of the blue, out of a job to this day, I don't think I'd applied for. I got an interview, and it was for the education department, and it was for a clerical job that didn't need to type. I don't ever remember applying for that job, but I got an interview. I got the job. That job resulted in people becoming Christians around me. It resulted in meeting my friend Sue Sinclair, who spoke a while ago, who became a Christian. It resulted in me being able to do my qualifications that I didn't have, which enabled me to go to college and to teach. God is in it with us. God is in it with us. And he wants us to renew our mind. Firstly, about who he is. He is good. We know that, don't we? But you know what? I'd say it's only in the past 5 years that I've understood. God is good. And when we stand praying for somebody and for healing or for whatever dreadful circumstance that we find ourselves in, God is good. If I don't see what I think should happen, God is still good. He still wants the best for us. And that changes everything. It is a game changer in what we do. You know, our finances are not good. God is good. So we're going to get that encounter. We're going to go back to him. We're going to find ways of encountering him that gives us enough confidence to go, yes, we can go into the next bit. Finally, I want to think about the mind change of ourselves. What do you think about yourself? Well, sometimes I'm very disappointed in myself. I'm very disappointed. I didn't think quick enough. I forgot to do that. I'm sorry I upset them. I'm sorry I was a failure there. But God says, I am for you. You know, we sing that, and I was so pleased that Emily and John chose that. Was it a new song today? I am who I say I am. No, we've done that before. But I am who you say I am. With confidence, we stand before God. And where's the most confident place you feel? You know, I know if I go into a strange room, oh, I was going to say filled with strange people, that if Mark's there, I've got someone who loves me, who's going to champion me, who I can go up to. If he's speaking to somebody else, I can go up to him and know I'm accepted. God is like that. You know, when you go to the party and you think, oh, where will I sit? Who will I be with? Who will I feel unsure? God is there because he's so pleased you're here. He is so pleased. And, you know, when we read these bits, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. You know what? I think these words, and John will correct me, you know, he knows a lot more about what's going on in these words than I do. But when we say it's pleasing to God, it's so sterile. It's so sterile. It's not the God we see, is it, in the prodigal son, where he's there as the father, outstretched arms, running, not worrying about how he looks or the pride or that he might trip over his gown or whatever. He's going to get that child and he's going to wrap him up in his arms and say, I am so glad you're here, you're back. And that is our God. He is lavish. He gives donuts. He is there for us. So we need to renew our minds. We need to get a right thinking of who God is. When we come to him, when we pray for healing for people, I don't need to say to God, please, please, please heal them because they're so lovely. And do you know what? They do all sorts for you. Please, please heal them. God is, do you think I don't know that? Do you think I don't want to heal them? Does God want to heal? Yes, he does. Do we always see it? No. Why? I don't know. I don't know. But I'm more scared of not doing what he's telling me to do than missing it. I don't want to miss it. So I'm going after that. I'm going after the miraculous. I'm going after the things that seem impossible. Because you know what? If they're not impossible, I can do them. And if we only do, if we only go after the things we can do, we might as well just have a club because we don't need God, do we? But where it's impossible, where that word, that prophetic word today was, what is a boulder in your life? What is it? It might be a circumstance. It might be a relationship problem. If you can sort it, sort it. But if you can't, we have a God who can move things. So let's believe it. Let's get praying. Let's get into it. Just very, very quickly, just a few tips on, well, how do we do that? Make one change. Make one change this week towards that. So I've just got four things. They nearly all begin with P, actually, so that's quite good. Partner for the encounter. How do we do that? You have to get time with God. If you are not having your quiet time, old-fashioned word, I know. But if you are not spending time with God, you will start becoming cynical. When I said, those donuts are a prophetic act, you go, anyone can buy donuts. That is a lie. Change your mind about that. Look to God. If you are Christians, stand in the spiritual world. See it from heaven coming to earth, not earth to heaven. So partner with God for the encounter. Get that love back, because it's love that will change us. You know, because I love Mark, I would listen to a Genesis album or something like that. Love will change us. Encouragement. Keep in a place of encouragement that encourages you. You know, what you're watching on the telly, if it's sad, horrible stuff, change that this week. Don't do it. Don't do it. If you go to bed thinking about, that joke was really funny, when you think, no, I shouldn't have really been watching that. Don't do it. Change. Encourage yourself. What you're listening to, I've brought some books and a couple of DVDs. And they're old DVDs. But they show you people who are operating in power of God. And it will blow your mind. And some of you won't like them, but some of you will. And so please take one of those if you would like that. Heidi Baker is working in Mozambique. Have a look on YouTube, her New Year message. She talks about all the things that have happened in Mozambique, all those floods and terrible things that happened into one of the poorest countries in the world. They've served there for 40 years, seem absolutely miraculous stuff, and they're still there. And they've got such a happy heart of thankfulness. So that's a book about hers, but you can have a look at that on YouTube. This one, terrible title. I was once a Buddhist nun. No. But an amazing story, amazing story. I have a passion for the Buddhists. I've got many friends in Sri Lanka, one of the hot seats of Buddhism, and I've seen them close up and what they go to. But that's an amazing story about how God broke through all sorts of things. So please take one of those if you can. So that's encouragement. So partner with God. Encourage each other. Practice. And this is something I'd really like you to push you on this week. Emily said about praying for the shop down the road. Do that. If that's your only thing this week, do that. But pray for something else. This morning, maybe you can pray, Lord, give me a word of encouragement for the person sitting next to me. They are not going to bite you if you say something positive to them. But ask God. Don't just make it up like, I'll say it about her. Well, maybe God will tell you to do that. That's fine. But ask for a word. Start working with God on this. You know, when we sit upstairs and wait in silence sometimes, God, speak to us, because we love the people who are coming on a Sunday morning. And if they hear that you've given us a word for you, it will be a changer, a game changer for them. We know that. But you can do that. You can do that now for the person sitting next to you. And finally, share it, pass it on. So if you try this week with somebody, someone you know, you're talking to them in work and that, Lord, give me a word that will encourage this person now. You don't have to say that out loud, but get God involved in what you're doing. It will change everything. And speak it out, try it. You know, it might bomb. But just share that with somebody next week, or you know, if you live with Christians, share it with them. I tried to talk to a couple this week, and I was trying to encourage them to come to things. And, you know, I want to fix everything in everyone's life. Just do what I say. And I was just talking to this couple, and we were getting on great. And I told them about some of the things that we did there, did here. And they're quite insulting. And they didn't think they were great. And usually I'm used to people thinking that we're wonderful here, the things we do, and they didn't. And I wasn't really happy with them then, you know. And I didn't say anything, but I went away sort of making up things that I should have said to them. And I wasn't happy. But really, you know, when I gave it back to God and said, you know, what happened there? And he said, it's okay, it's okay. This is, you said this is a place to belong. Yeah? Yeah, we did. Well, let them belong in whatever way they can come in. And you have just got to love them. That's not always easy, is it? But that's what we're supposed to do. But share it, you know, and I've shared that with a few people this week, that it doesn't always go great, it doesn't. But sometimes it will, and it's worth it for that. So I'm just going to pray, and as I pray, band, will you just come back and do that last, that song for us once more, please? And then we'll have our donuts before all the teenagers get them. Actually, there might not be any left looking at them. Yeah. Would you like to stand with me? Maybe this morning when I've said try, have a go at something, that you've thought of what you could try. If not, I'm just going to pray that for us now, that you think, what can I change? What little thing can I change that will renew my mind? Father, I thank you that you're here. I thank you that you're always good. I thank you that you sent your Holy Spirit that we might have you within us. That where our feet go, your feet go, Lord, because you are in us. And we thank you for that. And I just pray that Holy Spirit, you would come and fill us anew, that we would have a fresh encounter, that we would have that fresh perspective of heaven coming to earth. And Lord, would you give us people that when we're in front of this week, this day, even now, that you would give us a word of encouragement, a word of knowledge, that we would step out in what you have for us. In Jesus' name. Amen.